go horseback riding and zip lining. And we didn't tell them, because if we told them, hey, Mom and Dad's going to zip line, they would have said, no, you're not. So we get to this place, and it's a primitive cabin that we stayed in, which means you got wood heat. You eat a mess hall. Was it a mess hall? And the horse, you had to be able to get on that horse without standing on a stump or a stair. I felt so sorry for my horse. I think I pulled it ball-headed. Poor little thing. But anyway, the last day we did the zip line. Now, Evan doesn't like heights. I mean, he's afraid of them. But he's going to go so he can help Nana. Because you have to climb up this mountain, Keisha. And the Lord brought this all to memory to me last night. He goes, you remember that time you went on vacation and you did the zip line? And he showed me something really unique about it. Here I am at the base of this mountain. Now, Angela would probably call it a high hill. But I called it a mountain because it was up there and it had rocks and vegetation and thorns, and it was not pleasant. So Evan gets behind and he's in front. And the guide, he takes off like a mountain goat. We don't see him till we get to the top. And so Angela says, now, Mill, I'm going to get you up here, sweetie. Just put your feet where I put my feet. And just do that. And Evan's behind me. Nana, don't worry. I got your back. I said, okay. So we're headed up this mountain. And I'm starting to slip. And I can feel Evan's hand the whole way up there behind me. And then we get to some spots. Angela will turn around and reach and pull me up. If I start to slip, Evan's right there. If I say, hey, I'm having trouble here, Angela's right there pulling me up. Melissa, we get to the top. The view is spectacular. It makes it all the worthwhile. Evan looks at it and goes, I'm not going down. I'm not going across the canyon. Nope. Ain't doing it. So I look at Evan and I said, Nana will go first. If Nana goes, you know it's safe, right? So they mount me in and they say, all right, keep your legs together, put your hands out. That's because if you do this, you're going to spin around like this the whole way across. That would not be pleasant. This. So here's how you go across. So I go across. It was the best. I'd do it again. If I could get Evan behind me and Angela in front of me, pushing and pulling. But anyway, Angela goes across because Evan still ain't going. Finally, he's the only one over there on the other side. We're both across, and we're talking. They have a microphone that you can talk. We're trying to talk to him. And the guy says to Evan, we're trying to convince him 30, 40 minutes. We're trying to get him across the canyon. Finally, the guy says, now, Evan, I'm going to be honest with you. The only people that have ever gotten hurt are people that go back down the mountain, that fall back. Those are the only ones that get hurt. Go forward. Go forward. And that's our part, kind of like my message today. Go forward. But the name of it is this. Made perfect. So the first place we're going to go, and I'll never get a notebook like this again because you have to hold it down, is Hebrews 2:10. Here's what I do. I'll start reading something in the Bible, and then something just kind of sticks out. And it's like the Lord saying, I want you to investigate this. Check this out. And Melissa does the same thing. So this is what happened. I'm reading this. This is what it says. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom all are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now they're talking about Jesus being made perfect through suffering. Now I'm thinking, wait a minute, Jesus is sinless. He's already perfect. Then I started to investigate this verse and what it meant. And so I had to dig a little deeper. The Greek word for captain is leader or originator. Jesus is described in that word as a pioneer or a pathfinder. He led the way for us so that we could be in glory. The first one to lead the way, that's what it means actually. Jesus led a sinless life. He endured temptation, suffering on the earth to become our perfect leader. Now, when he was in heaven with the Father, he didn't have suffering. He didn't have temptation. He didn't have what we as humans go through. Because if you live this life, you're going to have suffering. You're going to have temptation. So in order for him to be our perfect leader, Sister Tony, he came here. He came here. So he experienced these difficulties perfectly without sin. Let's look at Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Boy, you guys are good up there. Thank you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit have a nature, just as we do. Now, our nature before Christ is one of the flesh and a sinful nature. Just like the nature of a car is metal, the nature of bread is flour. The nature of us before Christ was sin and flesh. The nature of God is love and holiness. I wasn't surprised today when we started singing. It seemed like everything we sang was about how holy God was. And it was just like it was part of this verse. When I first got into this message, I said, Lord, I have a dilemma. I even talked to Angelo about it. I said, I have a dilemma. What's your dilemma? I said, well, I've been doing all these studies, you know. I have 5 sermons wrote out, ready to go. I don't know which one. So he says, you know, you just got to pray about it. The Lord will show you. And the Lord said, why don't you just do it the way I gave it to you? So this is how he gave it to me. So I'm giving it to you the way he gave it to me. So Philippians 2:5, Jesus is fully God, the Son, but he became a bondservant. He became like us so that we could follow him. And he did it in a sinless way. You remember after he got baptized, Satan swooped in. The first thing he did is temptation. Just like us, Keisha. We get tempted. It's hard sometimes to resist temptation. Sometimes it's comical. Sometimes temptation will come knocking at your door wearing blue jeans, slam the door and say, no, go away. You have to be able to resist. If you resist temptation, it will flee. The next thing is suffering. suffering is a hard thing, isn't it, Sister Melissa? But you know what? Suffering produces growth. And one of my next things, see if I can find it, it's not there. I wrote these down, these messages. Made perfect, which is this one, the truth about suffering, genuine faith, I am that I am, and be holy. So you guys know ahead of time what's going on. But anyway, so suffering is a hard thing, but it's something Jesus did. He didn't look at the agony of the cross, but he was looking at the crown, and he was looking at the reward, which was our redemption. So Matthew 3:17 says this. I'll just read it. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Even though he came to earth, Mary, he was still the son of God. He still had the nature of God. He was righteous. He was holy. He was sinless. And he kept it that way. He kept it, even though he was in the human form. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you, as he also says in another place, you are priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of the godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed as if great drops of blood. Is there another way, Lord? Is there another way, Father? There isn't another way, because we have a holy, righteous Father. And because he's holy, Tony, because he's righteous, he's just. And the requirement for justice was the sacrifice of Jesus. Yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected. See, he wasn't perfect as the Son of God. He was perfected to be our high priest through suffering. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we shall much say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. The thing about Melchizedek, it's meat. You know the difference between meat and milk of the word? You're about to get some meat. Okay. Melchizedek, let's go to Hebrews 7, 1 through 11. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, which means king of peace, Salem was the name for Jerusalem. Before Jerusalem was Jerusalem, it was Salem. King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. How did he bless him? Melchizedek, and we'll read about it in Genesis, brought out to Abraham bread and wine. Who does that remind you of? What does that remind you of? All right, we're getting ahead of ourselves. to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part, first being translated king of righteousness. Melchizedek means king of righteousness. So he's king of peace, king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother. That means in the book of Genesis, you cannot find his ancestry. It doesn't say so-and-so begot Melchizedek, and Melchizedek begot so-and-so. There's no record of him. No record of his birth or his death. He's eternal. So, now consider, but was like the Son of God. It's not saying he was the Son of God, but he was like the Son of God. Now, I don't know exactly who Melchizedek was, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask. Okay? There are theologians that believe it might be Jesus that came before he was born of a virgin. There are others that say it might have been an angel. I don't know, and I'm not going to say, because the word's not clear on it. So we'll just let it like it is. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from people according to the law. That is, from their brethren, though they had come from the loins of Abraham. Now, this was before Levi was born. This was before the law. You know, the tribes, there were 12 tribes. The tribe of Levi is where the priest came out of. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. So by the law, Jesus could not have been a priest, nor could he have been a king. So, in the word it says that Jesus is our high priest through the order of Melchizedek, eternal. Do you see? That's why it's important. He has no record of mother or father. He's without genealogy. He had neither a beginning of days or an end of days. And he was made like the Son of God, Melchizedek. Let's go to Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God, Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram," this is before his name change, "of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. Now, so Abraham blessed Melchizedek with a tithe. Melchizedek brought out bread and wine to Abram, which is what we use in communion. Today we have, you know, when the law came in and the tribe of Levi began to have priests, the priests were mortal. And when they died, they had to get a new priest. But in the order of Melchizedek, that was continuous. It's eternal. Now, through Jesus, we are restored in relationship to the Father by the righteousness of Christ, who we rely on. Let's look at, and Angelo talked about this morning, Romans 6:14. Maybe I should find it. They got it. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." And this is, they call it the dispensation of grace. Next, go to Galatians 3:24 through 25. Therefore, the law, our tutor, a tutor, what does it do? What does a tutor do? It kind of teaches you or prepares you for a lesson or something to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. So we're justified by faith, but after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace and faith. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And we have to believe that what he did on the cross was restore fellowship for us, or restoration, so that we can have a relationship with the Father. So, now that we understand Melchizedek a little bit, let's look to Jesus, our high priest. Let's look at Isaiah 53:5, real popular verse. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is part of the work that Jesus did on the cross for us. This is what had to be accomplished. It was the only way it could be accomplished. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. You remember me climbing up that mountain? I was the weak link, Sherry. I had to have help. I had to have help. Jesus is our high priest. He's our mediator. The Holy Spirit is our helper. I had Evan behind. I had Angelo in front. Now, I'm not comparing him to Jesus, but I'm just saying, in this life, we have to have Jesus as our high priest, as our mediator, someone that could sympathize with what we have to go through here. It would be hard for God the Father to understand what temptation is, since he cannot be tempted. Thank you, hon. One of the first things Satan did is tempt Jesus. Then came suffering. And I remember, Kelly probably remembers this, I just got out of physical therapy. And when you go through, and Ernie can relate to this, when you go through physical therapy for a rotator cuff, it is painful. They have a big wheel there, and they've just separated your shoulder and put it back together and shaved part of it off. And they want you to take that wheel and rotate it around. Rotate it around. And every once in a while, my arm would drop. By the time I got in the car with Kelly, I was crying, Keisha. And I said, thank God salvation didn't depend on me. Because if I had to hang on the cross, I would have called them angels to come get me. I would have. But we have such a great high priest who looked beyond his suffering to save us. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. It's important how you go through suffering. You don't think it's important, but it is. Because we have an example in what Jesus did for us. And if you retreat, if you back up from it, if you go back down the hill before you get to the prize, then you've lost ground. You have to start over. Now, it's important how you go through suffering. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Put your feet where he stepped so that you know the way. Watch him. Don't take your eyes off of him. Each one of us someday will have to walk on water. I guarantee it. Don't take your eyes off of him. If you fall back, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get back in line. Follow him. We've already preached on that. Jesus as our high priest, he's our mediator. He can sympathize with us. He's merciful and he's faithful. He's not going to back down from you. He's not going to have, he's always going to have your back. But you got to stay with him. You got to stay with him. Hebrews 4:17. Hebrews 4:17. It's just the next verse. What? Oh, it's not there. Well, Kelly? Let me see. I don't know where that was at then. Anyway, it talks about Jesus being the propitiation. Is that?
Propitiation.
Yes. Refers to the satisfaction of the claims because we have a holy and righteous God. Christ appeased, or the fact that he died on the cross and was raised from the dead, he satisfied the justice of a righteous and holy God. Casey Renee, look up propitiation there in the back of your Bible, and we'll find out the verse. Let's look at Hebrews 8, 1 through 2. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated in the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. We have a high priest. His name is Jesus. He's right now in the throne room of God, sitting at the right hand of God. He is continually interceding for us. He is our mediator. He is our the one that when the Lord has a question about what's going on in our lives, he knows exactly what's going on in our lives. Let's look at Hebrews 9, 12 through 15. Did you find it, hon? 1 John 2:2. 1 John, she says, 2:2. No, that's just John, 1 John. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. He doesn't do it just for us, but for every child and every son and daughter of God. He has satisfied what was needed. So fix yours. Now look at Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand in the throne of God. The cloud of witnesses, all of those people in the previous chapter, they call it the Hall of Faith. Moses, Abraham, those people that are in that Hall of Faith, that's the cloud of witnesses. Now, they're not spectators. They are witnessing what's going on. God is our judge. And when we go to heaven, we stand there. What will he see? Will he see Jesus in us or not? So that's the thing. You have to put, we have to work out our salvation while we're here. It's not always easy. But just like that spectacular view that I saw when I got on top of that mountain, someday, if we stay in step, Tony, if we follow the directions that God has for us, we will be there. We'll reach it. Miss Virginia's already there. She's already there. And I bet you when she saw it, she thought, oh, my goodness. My goodness. He focused on the joy set before him. His attention was not on the agonies of the cross, but on the crown. God the Father made him high priest. That was his crown. And on the suffering, but it wasn't on the suffering or the cross. And the reward, which was our redemption. So that's what I have for you today. I hope it made a little sense. And I hope it blesses you, and I hope it helps you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't lose ground. Keep walking forward, and you'll make it across the other side.